The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. And these are the laws which you shall place before them. Here the Torah gives a detailed explanation into the majority of the mitzvahs which are bein odom lechaverei, which have to do between man and his fellow man, specifically in regards to dinei mamonos, zikin, to monetary laws such as damages, shemrim, trusteeships, custodianships, milva, loans, kinyan, acquisitions, and so forth. Secular law, this would be called civil law or litigations. The Torah calls these mishpotim. And they were all given Mishinai. We have a large area of the Talmud which deals with these laws, known as Nezikin. Such Masechtas as Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Sanhedrin. And we have a vast area of Shulchan Aruch which deals with these laws, which is known as Cheshen Mishpat. And all of these were given at Sinai. As it states in the beginning of Parsha, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem, and these are the laws which you shall place before them. Since it starts with a vav and, so it joins it to the previous Parsha. And the previous Parsha spoke about Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. So Rashi brings from Shmais Rabbo, Ma'elu maharishayni misinai, af elu misinai, to tell us that we shouldn't think that the laws that were given at Sinai are just the laws which perhaps have to do with what we might refer to as religious law. Not so. But all of these laws which deal with down-to-earth matters and affairs between man and his fellow men in the marketplace, in the world of business, on the road, these also are mitzvahs. And they were given Mishinai. They are also referred to as dinim. The Torah and the Talmud calls these dinim. And the mamunim aleihem, those who are given responsibility to see that they are fulfilled and executed properly, they are called the shefet or the dayon. This is a mishpat, they're called the shefet or the dayon, dayonim. And the places where these laws came forth from were therefore known as the Beis HaMishpat or the Beis Din. Now, this place, the Beis HaMishpat and the Beis Din, was also referred to in the Torah by another name. A very strange name. Civil law would be called courts. Torah refers to it as Beis Elokim. Not the house of judgment, but the house of Hashem. And with the specific name of Elokim. As it states further in the Parsha, V'nikra balabais el Elokim. There's an Asik, there's a litigation that has to do with shemrim, custodianships. There's a dispute. So it states that the balabai should go to El Elokim. And the Gemara Darshins, what does that mean? Zu Bezdin. This is brought later on in Perachov Beis, Posuk Zayin. Why was this called Beis Elokim? Because there's a posuk which states, Ki Amishpat Le Elokim. When it comes to the Mishpat, when it comes to the depth Hashem's judgments. This, in particular, far more so than all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah, have to do with Elohim, with Hashem. He is the one who can truly be a judge in a litigation between two people. And we try to emulate him. And what is the explanation of this? Because Din and Mishpot is the Tachlis HaYesha, is the ultimate in uprightness, in perfection, in balance. It doesn't lean to the right or to the left. You cannot go a little lekula, in other words, be a little lenient, because since it's a judgment in a dispute between two people, so if you're a little lenient to one, it's going to come out to be harsh to the other. You cannot go a little harsh, be a little strenuous, because if it's strenuous to one, it's going to be lenient to the other. And that's why the Torah commanded us in many places, Leisate Mishpot, that we are not allowed, in particular the Shoftim, the judges, are not allowed to bend the law when it comes to this type of Din or Mishpot. When it comes to Isur V'Heter, when it comes to laws that have to do with man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there many times, sometimes we say L'chumra, sometimes L'kula. We go a little more, be a little more harsh than the Din, or a little more lenient. But here we cannot, because whatever we'll do for one will come out the opposite to the other. And therefore it states Leisate Mishpot, that one is not allowed to bend the Din. L'tevas ha'adal, l'tevas ha'osher, you should not favor the poor. You're not allowed to favor the rich. You're not allowed to have echod eimed ve'echod yeshe. Judge is not allowed to demand one should stand and one should sit. Koshel lezeh v'rach lezeh. He's not allowed to speak harshly to one and speak softly to another. But both parties must be perfectly equal before the mishpot, because the mishpot is the tachlis ha'yesher, is the ultimate of perfection, a balance of the mitzvah in the middle. And once there is a kilkul, that we go off a little to the right or to the left, that's a kilkul of Elohim, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaMishpat L'Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true judge when it comes to Dinei Mishpat, to these types of laws. Further, the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Midas HaDin. This was Reishis Machshavtei, that he created the world with judgment. And this is a statute which he enshrined in the creation. And that's why in all of Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the whole chapter of the creation, it states Bereishis Bara Elohim. It uses the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem Elohim, because that name refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the judge. Bereishis Bara Elohim, Es HaShemayim Voretz, Vayara Elohim, Vayim Elohim. Later he brought Chesed into the world, but in the beginning he created it with judgment. And therefore the Gemara says, Kol Dain Shedon Din Emes Lamitai, every judge that will judge the party's dispute with the ultimate of truthfulness is Nase Shuter im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Ma'aseh Bereishis. He becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu enshrined the pillar of Mishpat in the creation. And this is an ever ongoing force. Now, a deen emesah, an ultimately true deen, is enormously deep. As it states, Hamishpal Elakim belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara mentions at times, like Rav Nosson, says Rav Nosson, Yorad Le'um Kedidinai. If he said something, when it came to these types of dealing, we had to listen to him, because he was an individual who went far into the depths of the deen. The Gemara says, "Areitz lahakim, areitz yakim, yasik b'din emomenus." If you want wisdom, then the place to find it is in the study of the shas that deals with din emomenus, with these types of laws. This is how deep they are. The reason for this is because if we're a little off center, since the Mishpat is the Tachlis Ayesha, the ultimate of perfect balance, if we're a little off center, it's already Kilkel Adin, we've already ruined it. When it comes to Tzedakah, you want to give charity. When it comes to Chesed, you want to do good for others. You can do a little more, you can do a little less. You can give a lot of stock, you can give a little stock. It's still stock. You can do for someone a great deal, you can do for someone a little. It's still chesed. Oh, and actually the one that does more is better. It doesn't have to be perfect. But there is nothing that has to be so perfect as the Yesha. Because what is Yesha? Yesha is the perfect balance. If you take in geometry, if you take in physics, you try to find the perfect balance. You try to find the center. If you're slightly off, it's not in balance. And this is the deen in the Mishpat. Therefore, it has to be perfect. Therefore, it is very difficult. But at the same time, its level is enormously high. This is why the Maral explains in last week's Parsha, Parsha's Yisro. Yisro came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, "What are you doing? Why do you yourself judge all of the people? Novel Tivo, you can't keep this up. A big nation." And Moshe said, "I have to judge the people. They come to me with all of their litigations, they come to me with the disputes, they come to me with all of the questions pertaining to these types of dinim." And Yisrael gave him an idea. He says, "Appoint other judges to help you and establish courts. There'll be establish a judge for every 10 people, and then another judge for every 100, higher courts, and sorry, Aleph, and another one for every 1,000 people, and another one for every 10,000 people, and they'll help you." And Moshe agreed to it. They went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. There's a kasha, there's a great question on this. But Moshe was not clever enough to understand this himself. Everyone knows. Anyone who manages everything, anything, knows he cannot manage himself. So he delegates. Appoints other people to help him. So what was Moshe's problem, and what was the great wisdom that Yisro came with? It was because of this that Yisro was called Yeser. Sheyet Yitar Parsha Achas Betorah, that he added, an extra Parsha the Torah. So the Maral explains, Moshe very well grew this. This any manager knows. Moshe's problem was this: Mishpat Elakim, to come to the true Mishpat, that's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to be perfect, and Moshe could do that. Moshe was known in the Torah as Ish Elokim, he was called. Ish Elokim. Moshe had that Yosher. He He had that perfection and depth of wisdom where he could come to the ultimate fairness in a dispute and in a litigation. But no one else could. It was only Moshe. Therefore Moshe said, how can I bring in people and delegate them this responsibility? With the Mishpat. What did Yisro say? Yisro said, Novel Tibo. He said, you can do it yourself, but how long will you last? It'll wear you down. It's impossible for you to judge this whole nation. I told him, Ada, you yourself. Therefore, to execute such perfection in judgment for a whole nation is impossible in this world. Therefore, you have to move down a step. You have to find yourself chachomim, people who are wise in the entire Torah, nivonim, people who have great wisdom and understanding, anshe emes, people who are true, seine betza, people who hate money and bribery. That for sure. You have to find people that are like yourself. But if it was possible for you to do it alone, then this is what would have been demanded, and you alone should be the shefet. But since it's impossible for you to do it alone, that means that others have to do also, and we're going to have to come down a notch. That's the ultimate that this world can come to, in the perfection of Mishpat. And therefore that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. This is what Yisro managed to introduce to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe was still reluctant. He didn't want to bring the Mishpat down a notch. So we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. But that was only that they should find Chachomim, Nevonim, people who are great in wisdom and in this judgment. Now, someone who is Shema the Din, someone who guards the Din, is perfectly upright. He is known as Tzaddik in the Torah. That's what the Torah refers to as Tzaddik. Someone who's not Shema the Din, someone who does not guard this Mishpat, the Torah calls him Rosh. This is in many places. For example, it states Tzedek, Tzedek, Tishpat. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdaif. You shall pursue a Bezdin Tzedek, a Bezdin that judges with Tzedek. Tzedek, Tishpat, Amisecho. You shall judge with Tzedek. Later on in our Parsha, so it states in Chof Gimel, Posik Vov, and Posik Zayin, Lisate Mishpat Evyein Choberivai, you shall not bend the Mishpat, distort the Mishpat of an Evyein, of a poor person, in his litigation. Midbar Sheker Tirchok, you shall remove yourself from Sheker, V'noki V'tzadik Altarek, Ki Le'atztik Rosha. And you must judge, you must not judge unfavorably the tzaddik. In other words, he who is tzaddik, he who is innocent in the eyes of the law, he must be judged with innocence, and the rosho must be judged to be guilty. Ki le'atztik rosho. So we find that the Torah refers to the one who keeps the mishpatim, who's scrupulous with the Mishpatim, that's known as Tzaddik. Tzedek. Tzedek means kusht, kshait, the Targum always says. Perfect truthfulness. Not to the right and not to the left. And the one who does not keep the Mishpatim he is known as Rosho. Why is he called a Rosho? Because when someone removes himself from that perfect uprightness and he starts to lean to a side, that's a Rosho. When he starts to deviate in a crooked way, this is what the word Rosho means. With this fundamental principle, the Maral explains many Gemaras. Explains the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. When Mesha grew up by Parai, and he came out one day, and he saw two Jews fighting. It was Dosan Vaviram. So Mesha said, "Ayem el Rosho, lama sakere echo." So he said to the Rosho, he called one Rosho, "Why are you hitting your friend?" So the Gemara says, "Omar Ish Lakish." Ish Lakish learned from here, "Amagbir yode al chaveiroi, afapish lehikol nikro Rosho." Someone who lifts up his hand to hit his fellow man, even though he does not hit him, is called a Rosho. As it states, "Vayema the Rosho lemesakere echo." Mesha said to one of them, "Rosho, why are you hitting your friend?" Lama hikisa lenema. He says, it does not say why you hit him. Why have you hit him? Lama sakere. But why will you hit him? Afalpisha lehiko nikro Rosho. In other words, it was speaking that he hadn't hit him yet. One had not hit the other person. He raised his hand to hit him. And Mesha said, "Why are you going to hit him? Rosho." And he called him a Rosho. What right did he have to call him a Rosho? He hadn't done anything yet. So Ish Lakish says, from here we see, "Amagbiya yodei lechaveirei." You lift up your hand to hit someone. Nikra Rosho is called a Rosho, afalpishe dain leiko, even though he hasn't hit him yet. Now we can ask, what did he do? He didn't do anything yet. So why is he called a Rosho? So the Maral explains, the Rosho is the opposite of the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the one who is perfectly alayesha, perfectly straight, perfectly upright. When a person raises his hand to hit another man, that's the beginning of the yetzia. That's the beginning of the deviation from uprightness. Once a person starts to deviate from uprightness, that already is the Rosho. And therefore, once he lifts his hand to hit someone, even though he hasn't hit him yet, he has deviated from that perfect balance. And therefore, didn't say Lama Hikiso, why have you hit him? Why are you going to hit him? Rosho. Hamagbiya yoda lechaveirei. Therefore, if you lift your hand against your fellow, even though you haven't hit him yet, nikra Rosho. Brings another Gemara. The Gemara brings an interesting Gemara in the Masechta Beitzah. Gemara brings in Beitzah Daf Chovov, in Chofei Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Vamarami bar Abba chatsuva mekatea ragleon derishia." The chatsuva was a certain plant. It was called the chatsuva. This plant will cut the feet off of the rishoyim. In other words, this plant will be the prosecutor of Rishoyim. What's it speaking about? Rashi explains. He says, Esav, there was a certain plant, a certain grass, Shesharoshav Naikfin Viyodin Be'emek. Its roots would go into the ground and extend themselves very, very deep into the ground. Vein mispashet litzdod in klau. But it had a teva, it had a nature where these roots would not, generally by all plants, the roots spread out in all directions. These roots would not spread out in any direction. They would go straight down as a beeline. The natin I say being vuli sodes. Because of this, the people would use these to mark boundaries. Because of this, the people would use these to mark boundaries. They would plant them along their fields. Ubayti yachas Yeshua li Yisrael eso oretz. And when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to mark the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, so he did it with these plants. So mikatei ragli arishoyim liyei madin shegezlin vechemsin umasigun gvul ve'en lamed mimenu. They will be a prosecutor when it comes in the world to come against the rishoyim that go and they steal what belongs to others, because they should have learned from this plant which is perfectly straight. Rabbeinu Hananel explains a little further. He says as follows: Im yigzol echad misod chaver, if Reuben is a neighbor of Shimon and he wants to take a little land from Shimon, so what does he do? He moves his fence one night into Shimon's territory, and then nobody will notice it. He's got a big farm, acres, hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of acres, and one night he'll move the fence 10, 15 acres or whatever it might be, a couple acres into his neighbor's field, and nobody will notice it. And then one day, if there'll be a dispute, he'll say, this is how it always was. But these plants were planted on the boundary, so what will he do? He'll cut down the plants. He'll cut them and plow them, and then nobody will know where the boundary is. So what used to happen, if there was a dispute over the boundary, chayfrin, they would dig deep into the ground. Achimotsu zu achatsuba. These plants you could cut off at the top, but the roots would still be very, very deep down. You could even dig them out, but the roots go very deep down. And the roots of these plants would not go to the right or to the left. They would go straight down. If you just found roots there, who knows, who says the boundary was there? They could have been 20, 30, 40, 50 feet away. But they go straight down. And it would publicize for everyone if he's a gadaf or not. And therefore this is going to be the prosecutor which cuts the feet off of the Rishoyim in the next world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, Klaim HaZeh Esev HaSod Shalei Nizah B'mitzvah V'Einad Meita Eilech Ve'Eilech. This plant that has no mitzvahs and still is perfectly straight, HaRishoyim Yitztavu U'meifirin U'meiniach Derech Yishosho U'mamikim V'eishkim V'chemsin. And the Rishoyim that were given seichel to know what's straight. People were given seichel, and look how crooked you go. You go into other people's fields, you go into other people's houses to take what belongs to them. Therefore, this plant is going to become a prosecutor to the Rishoyim. Mikatein Raglean Rishia. So the Maral explains, because what is a Rosho? The Rosh is the opposite of the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is Tzaddik, perfectly in the center, not to the right and not to the left. The Rosh is crooked. See? He's Yesher and he's Mekulkel. He's crooked. Now, he says it's possible that one day the Rosh will say, you can't blame me for being a little crooked. How can anybody be straight in this world? This world, you can't be straight. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show him the Chatshuva, this plant. this plant is only from this world, and still it is perfectly straight. It grows its roots straight down, and it doesn't move to the right or to the left. And you that were given a seichel from another world, which is a compass to tell you what is straight and what is crooked, you couldn't even be like this plant. I think I saw someplace the name Chatzuva. It's called the Chatzuva. Chatzuva is the same name which is used for a tripod. I think I saw someplace, I don't remember, but why was it called Chatzuva, a tripod? Because in physics and in geometry, it is brought that a tripod is the greatest force to establish the center point of something. Because you have three legs that are pulling and pushing at every possible angle. And therefore, it forces the center to remain exactly in center. Now, that would be very good. Because here we're talking about the center, the emsoi. And that's what this plant was called. Another Gemara explains. Gemara brings a Masechet Kedushin. Gemara brings an interesting case. And Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph. Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph, the Gemara brings Rav Gidl, the Nun Tes in the middle of Amar Aleph. Rav Gidl have a mahapek bahi aro. Rav Gidl was negotiating for a certain piece of property. And negotiations were very advanced. Also Rababa, another sage of the Gemara, went, Zavna. And he went behind Rav Gidl's back and he bought it from under him. Rav Gidl was negotiating for a certain piece of property and it was very advanced in the negotiations. And Rababa went and chapped it away. He bought it. Also Rav Gidl kabli Rav Zeira. So Rav Gidl went and he complained to Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira went and complained to Rav Yitzchak Nafko. So Rav Yitzchak Nafko said, wait until the Regel, until Yantif, and they'll both come up to see me. And then I'll find out what's going on. Because on Yantif was a minute to go and be makabel p'nei Rabbi, it was aloha, to go and see your Rebbe and to hear Divrei Torah from him. So Ashkechei. So Rav Gidl came. Rav Abba came. Omalei, so Rav Yitzchok Nafche asked him, Oni mahapech bacharoro, ubo acha netoba, imeno, mai. What's the deen? I want to ask you a question, he said. What's the deen if there's a poor man and he's going after some food which a balabais is giving him? Balabais is putting out some food and this poor man is going to take it. And all of a sudden another person comes, runs in front of him, pushes him aside, and he chaps the food. What's the deen? Omalei nikra rosho. So he answered, the second person that took it from under his nose is called a rosho. So he said, velamar my time over rochi. So he says, so why did you do such a thing? Yeah, Rav Gidl was negotiating for a piece of land, and you went and you chopped it from him. Omalei, so he said, Lehavi Yodano. He said, I never knew Rav Gidl was looking for this piece of land. I didn't know. So he said, Hashto Nami Nisvinele. Alright, now you know. So give it back to him. Omalei, so he said like this. He says, Vuni Le Mizvanino. I will not sell it to him. This is the first piece of land, the first piece of real estate that I've ever bought. And it's not a good simon, not a good sign for a person to sell the first piece of real estate he ever bought. So therefore he said, I will not sell it to him. If he wants it for nothing, I will give it to him. See, evidently it was only not a good simon to sell it. But if he wants it for nothing, I will give it to him. So Rav Avo offered to give it to Rav Gidl for nothing. Rav Gidl le nochis le, Rav Gidl would not take it, because it says that he who hates gifts will live a long time. So he didn't want to take it for nothing. He said, I'll buy it from you, but I won't take it for nothing. Rav Avo le nochis lo, Rav Avo wouldn't go into the land, mishum dehofek bei Rav Gidl, because he found out that Rav Gidl was negotiating for it. Mar le nochis le, ve le mar nochis le, neither would go into the land. Umiskaya ara darabonan. So it became a piece of land which was known as an ara darabonan, a land for the Talmidim. They left it hefker for the Talmidim that would sit and learn Torah, and they had to have a place to have panosa from. So they used that land for panosa. Rav Gidl wouldn't take it because he says, for nothing I don't want it. And Rav Avo wouldn't sell it to him because he says, it's not a good sign to sell my first buy. Neither of them would use it for that reason. He says, because I don't want to take something that belonged to you. So therefore, it became Ara de Rabbonin. Now, we see here that Oni Amahapech Bacharoro, that if one person is going after some food that the Balabais left for the poor people, and one person is going after it, and another person comes and chops it away before he had a chance to get it, his Nikar Roshi is called a Rosho. And the same thing, if I'm buying something and the negotiations are in advance and someone else comes now and chops it, is Nikar Rosho, is called a Rosho. Why is he called a Rosho? So the Maral explains. A Rosho is someone who is Yetze Min HaSeder. He goes out of where a person should be and into a place where he should not be. The Gemara brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for everyone his place, which is for him and no one else, and his parnoso, which is for him and for no one else. And the parnoso, which is for Reuven, is Reuven's and not Shimon's. And the parnoso, which is for Shimon, is Shimon's and not Reuven's. And the mokum, the place which he created for Reuven, belongs to Reuven and is not for Shimon. And the place which he created for Shimon is for Shimon and not for Reuven. Mashemuchan lezeh, ein muchan lezeh. What he created for one person is not for the other. Gemara in Baba Basra, and Daf Tes Zayin Amar Aleph says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Iyov. See, Iyov was going through tremendous yesurim, tremendous affliction. And everything was going wrong, everything. Going wrong with his property and with his animals and with his family. And he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he told his friends in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making an error. He's making mistakes. Things are getting mixed up there. The communications. Because it's not possible that by one person he should have so many problems, so many troubles. The messages and the decrees and all of the edicts are getting mixed up. This is what Iyo said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered and he said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Iyo, Harbe Nimin Borosi Ba'odom. I have created many hairs in the human being. How many hairs does a human being have? On his head, on his face, on his body. Count them. Lechol nimin v'nimin nima v'nima barasi guma bifnei atzmai. And for every single hair, I created its own guma. The guma is the place where the hair grows from and takes its nourishment. You'll never find two hairs come out of one guma. Every nima, for every hair, I created its own guma. Shleinoku shtai miguma echot. In order that two hairs should not take their parnosa, their nourishment, from one guma, from one hole. If two would happen to take from one hole, mechashka is more than any shal odom. It could make a person blind. So he says, how many people have I created? And how many hairs have I created on every person? And for every hair, I created its own guma, its own source, where it takes its nourishment. And have I ever made a mistake where two should take their source from one, two should take their nourishment from one source? Because that would ruin a person if it did. It would cause blindness. So if I didn't make a mistake, well, we're speaking here in the mega billions, so how could I make a mistake in the decrees and in what's happening to you? Now, what do we see from here? If for a single hair what HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared for one is not for the other hair, what he prepared for the other hair is not for this hair. And what is a hair? So when it comes to the greatest of his creations, the Odom, the man, what he prepared for one person is not for the other. What he prepared for the other person is not for him. Each one he created their own source of nourishment, of panosa, their own place. And this is what Ben Azai said in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Omar Aleph. He says, Ein Odom Negea Bemuchen Lechaverei, Vein Malchus Negas Bechavato. That one person cannot take what is destined for someone else. It's for someone else, not for him. If he does, he's a ganav. But if he's a ganav, he'll have no nachas from it, because it's not for him. He'll lose it. He'll have so much sorrow from it that he would wish he never took it. Kodesh Baruch will punish him for it. Ein odem negea bimuchen lechaverei. Not one person is capable of taking what is set aside for another person. That's when it comes to individuals, and the same when it comes in general. Ein malchus negas bechavato kimolei nimo. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a right to a king to reign, and he reigns for so many years, nobody can take that away from him. Not until the amount of time was used up, and it's time now for the next one to reign. Therefore, it comes out like this. See, if a person takes something that belongs to someone else, what is he doing? He's going out of his own place into the place of his friend. In other words, he is deviating from the yosher. The yosher is everyone was given his house, his property, his panosa, whatever it might be. When you go from there into someone else's and you want to take, this is someone who's yetzei min hayesher. He's deviating from what was made to be perfect. This is a rosh. Therefore, amam hapik becharoro uboacha natolo. Therefore, if someone is about to be given something to eat, and someone else comes and takes it from him, nikra rosh. This is a rosh. Or if someone is negotiating for a piece of property, and negotiations are very advanced, and they're about to close, so it shows that this was for him, and now someone comes and takes it one way or the other, this is a rosh. This is the Yisod of Rosh. Incidentally, from here, we learn some important things when it comes to panosho, and when it comes to place. A person has to know that he gets the panosho which is roi for him. He gets the panosho which is set aside for him. He has to work for it. Won't come to him without working. Because they ain't same thing out of nation. We're not allowed to rely on miracles. So we have to do what nature demands. What this world demands. This world demands that Odom Zeria Bishasaria, that you have to plant in planting time. Bechedish Bishas Harisho, and you have to plow in plowing time. Bekeitzer Bishas Ksira, and you have to harvest in harvest time. That's what the world, the Elam Hateva, the world of nature demands. You don't plant, so it doesn't grow. You don't harvest, then you don't have any fruits. So you have to. You have to work. You have to do what nature demands. This is the Olam Hateva. But there are many that plant, nothing comes up. There are many that plant, and it's a bad year. There are many that plant, and it's a wonderful year. Many times you can plant, there's no rain. The other times you can plant, like in a year today, and it could be the crop this year, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, could be an historical crop. It could be one of the largest mini crops in the history of South Africa. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, we have to work. We have to do what the world demands. Olam HaGashmi demands. Not more, not less. But what we get from that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And we have to take it and rejoice with it. But don't look at others. Don't look at this one has that and someone else has this and this one seems to be having more success and this one is having whatever it might be, because what is muchan l'zeh is not muchan l'zeh. What is set aside for Reuven is not for Shimon. What is set aside for Shimon is not for Reuven. And once we start to look at others, oh, then we have problems. Okay. If you go to one extreme where he becomes a rosho, he sees what Shimon has, he wants to take it. That's Rosho. Yeah, but not, sometimes you don't have that much of extreme, but you have people that never have a Ezehu Osher, who's the wealthy, Mishyeshle Nachas Ruach Me'eshre, he who enjoys his wealth. There are so many people that they do not allow themselves to enjoy the wealth, because whatever they have, they're always looking at what the next one has, and they always want what the next one has. So he has a nice car, but the neighbor has a better one. So you never can enjoy his wealth. You have other people that drive themselves sick and drive themselves to the grave because they're not satisfied merely to do what the world demanded and then enjoy the wealth, but they have to go and outdo everyone else in town. So they do far more than the world demanded. Instead of working 8 hours a day or 9 hours a day or 10 hours a day, they'll work 20 hours a day. And they won't stop. But very likely they could be trying to get something which is not set aside for themselves. And they'll never have any nachas ruach from it. How many times do we hear of people who amass fortunes, but then they lose fortunes? They amass fortunes, then they lose their health and they never had a time to enjoy it. They leave it for others. And the same thing Mokum. Kodesh Baruch Hu set aside the appropriate place for each person. A person finds himself in one place and it's going well. Carry on. How many times do we see that a person is doing well in one place, but he starts to look at other places? If it was there, it'd be better. There's Australia, and there's Canada, and there's the United States, and there will be better. And how many times do we find, not times do we hear, literally hundreds of times, they went to Australia, they went to Canada, they went to USA, and he says, if I could, would have only stayed where I was, I would have had so much more atzlocha. And this is why the Chazal say, must be very careful of a mashana mokum, mashana mazel. It's brought, I mentioned many times, the Kotzker Rebbe used to say that when someone would come and ask him a shayla if she should move, he would consider this from the most serious questions. Why? Because it says that when you move from one place to the other, a mokum, this is a person is like a plant. He doesn't merely stand on a place. He lives in that place. He's a plant. He has roots. When you move from one place to the other, you are uprooting yourself from one place to the other. And just like you take a tree and move it from one place to the other, you have to be a chochem. Am I doing right in moving the tree from one place to the other? Here it's flourishing. Maybe someplace else it won't. So you would say further, a man has shroshim, not only he has roots not only in the place where he is, but he has shroshim lamalo also. He has roots on top also. So you are moving him. And that's why the Gemara says, Mishana Mokum, Mishana Mazel, you change your place, you change even your mazel lamalo. Therefore, if you have a tree and it's dying, it's sick, it's not flourishing, well, that's a different question, different case then. You look for a better place for it. But if you have a tree that's flourishing, what are you moving it for? The same thing, if someone is doing well, I is not the wealthiest man in the world, who says he has to be the wealthiest man in the world? But he's doing well. So what are you moving it for? I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, if it works, don't fix it. And this is what my Rebbe once told me. He said, a kranke darf suchen eitzes. A gesunde sucht eitzes wird krankenlos. He says, a sick person has to look for new strategies. A healthy person looks for strategies. He'll get sick from that. So this is what we're speaking here. This is what also we can learn from this. The Maral brings another Gemara. The Gemara says in the Dorim, and Avchob Beis, it says, Haneder kilu bein abona. Someone who makes a neder. What is a neder? A neder is where he adds isurim to himself. He adds prohibitions to himself that the Torah did not decree. A person has the power to do so. For example, the Torah said you can drink wine. I'm going to take a vow that I will not drink wine. So the Torah says that you can eat meat. I'm going to take a vow that I will not eat meat. So the Gemara says, Haneder kilu beina bomel atzma. Someone who takes a vow is as if he's building a private altar. Omar Shmuel says, Vamakayma. And if he fulfills it, Nikra Rosho, he's called a Rosho. Better he should go to the Chochem to be matrit, to annul it. So they all ask, why is he called a Rosh? If he fulfills it, why is he called a Rosh? And if he takes the vow, why is he considered building a boma, a private altar? The answer is that what was wrong with the Bomesh? After Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, they were one nation in one place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited the private altars then. Because the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to unite the Klal Yisrael. One place, and when everybody's going to go build their own bomas, so then everybody is going to make their own Torah. Now the Torah gave one law to everyone. You're coming to add new prohibitions, and you're coming to be made to yourself. You're coming to take yourself out of the tzibur. That's building a private altar. Why? But why, if you fulfill it, are you called a Rosho? So the Maral says something very deep, but along these lines. He says, what is a Rosho? The Rosho is the one who deviates from the perfect straight path. The perfect straight path is the Torah. There is no path which is straighter than Torah. It states, Pekudia. All of the mitzvahs of Hashem, all of his laws are Yoshua. It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate of straightness. And the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will himself. And on HaKadosh Baruch Hu it states, Tzadik v'yosher hu. He is Tzadik, he's Yosher. So you cannot improve on Torah. Don't try to improve on Torah. Because if you will, how can you improve on something which is perfect? If you have, for example, Lahavdil, a Rembrandt, which is perfect, I'm going to improve on it. I'm going to add a few lines here and a few lines there. You have a masterpiece, we'll say, from Bach, Mozart, perfect. I'm going to improve on it. I'm going to add a little, take away a little. If it's perfect, anything you will do will be macalculated, will destroy it. How can you improve on Torah? So here, like the Gemara says, Leidai shele osroloch, the Torah never forbade you to drink wine and never forbade you to eat meat. And now you come and you're adding. You're not improving on Torah. You're being macalculate. You're making a straight line crooked. And what is a rosho? The rosho is the one who walks off the straight line to the right or to the left, becomes crooked. That's why a makayma inikra rosho. That if someone takes vows to add isurim, add prohibitions to the Torah, and he fulfills it, Shmuel says that's a rosho. He's walking away from the perfect uprightness into a crooked path. Now, tzaddik, therefore, is just the opposite of the rosho. That's the ultimate of uprightness. Now, Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon, he said in Mishlei Yud, Posek Chofei, Ka'avor sufa ve'ein rosho. A sufa is a ruach sa'ora, a wild wind, a tornado, a hurricane. Just as the wild wind, the tornado or the hurricane, will pass quickly from the world, ve'ein rosho, that's how the rosho will pass from the world. But the tzaddik is yesod olam. He will be with the world forever. Not only he'll be for the world forever, with the world forever, he will be the pillar which the world stands on. Tzaddik yesod olam. What does he say? But now explains as follows. What is a wild wind? Wild wind has two qualities. Firstly, it's something out of balance. That's why we call it, it was a freak storm, a freak wind. Something went off balance. Because when nature is in balance, so the rains are proper, the winds are proper. Wild wind, a hurricane, a tornado, is something which is a quirk. It's a freak wind. It's unbalanced. That's one quality. Secondly, it's very violent. Extremely violent. What do we see with wild winds? We see they hit the world with a great violence, but then they disappear. How long are they? They disappear. The same thing with floods and hurricanes and so forth. Why do they disappear so quickly? They have no long longevity. Because anything which is unbalanced cannot last. Anything which is unbalanced will collapse. This is the rosho. The rosho is unbalanced. He deviates to the side. And he's violent. He's violent. Therefore, he'll hit the world with a great violence and with a great lack of balance. But he'll have no longevity. He'll disappear. You take in our days, well, at least in my days, we lived through the Holocaust. There we saw one of the greatest of Shoim that the world's ever known. Hitler, Yamach Shemayim. Couldn't have been a greater illustration of a sufa, of a Ruach Seora, a wild wind that hit the world and with such violence. And the wild wind does destruction. A hurricane can come through, a tornado can come through, and it's only there in minutes, but it leaves a path of destruction. And that's the Rosho. Look at the destruction that Hitler brought upon the world. But what was his longevity? 5 years. I saw where they wrote that he had preached that his Malchus, his Third Reich, will be 1,000 years. That's what he preached to the German people. 1,000 years. So they wrote on him that he was 995 years wrong. His Third Reich lasted 5 years, not 1,000. 995 years wrong. No tenure, no longevity. Because something which is off balance will collapse. Build a structure, if it's off balance, it's not going to last. Unfortunately or tragically, the Rosha and the wild wind can wreak havoc in a short amount of time, but it won't last. So that's what Shlema HaMelech is saying. He's saying Kavor Sufa Ein Rosho, just like the wild wind, which is violent and can wreak havoc, but will soon disappear, so will be with the Rosho. He'll enter the world, heaven forbid, he will create havoc with violence, but then he'll disappear. Tzaddik, now you take the tzaddik. What does the tzaddik represent? The perfect middle path, the perfect balance. Something that has perfect balance, a structure that has perfect balance, will last forever. Not only last forever, but he is the pillar which HaKadosh Baruch Hu balances the world on. So Shlema HaMelech said, with tzaddik yisod olam. But the tzaddik, he will last forever. He will be the foundation of the world. And the Gemara brings in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Amar B'Yechanan, Afilu B'Shvil Tzadik Echod Ha'Elam Yiskayim, and Afilu B'Shvil Tzadik Echod Nivra Elam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it is because of the Tzadik the world exists and the world lasts, and it's because of the tzaddik that I have created the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a world to emulate his qualities. This was his purpose in creating the world. He wanted to bring his Shekhinah down to emulate his qualities. His qualities are tzaddik v'yosho, perfect uprightness, and he lasts forever. It was for this tzaddik that I created the world. And the Gemara says, "Ba'afilu l'tzadik echod." Even b'shvil tzadik echod, for one tzadik, I was nivra elam. The Maral says, you don't need many. When it comes to the contrary, when it comes to the perfect center, there's only one. When it comes to off balance, you can have millions. That's why you get millions of philosophies and millions of movements. Millions of isms. But when it comes to the truth, there's only one. It comes to the center, there's only one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it was because of a tzaddik, this is why I created the world. Ba'afilu b'shvil echod. And even if that tzaddik is only one. Because he represents the ultimate center. And there's only one center. This is the explanation of tzaddik and rosho. And by the mishpotim, there in particular is where we have the quality of tzaddik and rosho, where the tzaddik is the ultimate perfection between the right and the left, and the rosho is the one that deviates to the right or to the left. And because the Mishpotim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu demand ultimate perfection, therefore Amishpat Lelekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you must be very careful with Mishpotim. They belong to me. He is the Shefet of the world. And he gave over this Mishpat to Klal Yisrael. The Medrash that states that from everything that was so dear to him, the most was his Mishpatim. And therefore he gave it over to Klal Yisrael, to Yisrael. And this is the how careful we have to be when it comes to Eila HaMishpatim, Ve'Eila HaMishpatim, Asher Tosim Lifnehem.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.